Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Our in-depth conversation that launches Thread Week is coming up. But first, the political junkie Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Carrie.
Should we begin with everything the conventional political wisdom got wrong? Clinton winning, Clinton widening the electoral map, Trump stuck in the low 40s. The list goes on. Ken, what happened?
Well, I'd love to talk about all those things, and I love the fact that we have 3 hours this morning to talk about it.
Because we'll
but
need it.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I mean, one thing, everything you said is exactly right. The reason, there were so many reasons why we didn't see it coming, but if anything, I thought we'd be talking about today is that, look at that, Donald Trump is still not conceding, or Donald Trump's supporters are out protesting the results in the streets, or they've already started impeachment hearings against Hillary Clinton. All those things I thought we'd be talking about on this Monday morning, and obviously that's not what we're talking about.
But Ken, do tell me how, and I don't think it was just the polls. It was also a misreading of the electoral temperament, wasn't it?
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, there's so many, it's so easy to see when you're wrong and then go back and find out why you were wrong. And one of the things I go back to, I mean, look, there was the James Comey thing, and that didn't help the Clintons. But I think there's also a lot of things that Trump supporters were dismissed and dissed as maybe deplorables and not the kind of, I mean, they were all lumped together as xenophobics and racists and anti-Muslims and all these things. And yet a lot of them were just fed up with the things, in their words, were not working. The jobs were being shipped overseas. The jobs were not coming back. I was just thinking, like, one of the final rallies of the campaign, Hillary Clinton campaigned with Jay-Z, who I don't know if it's famous because I never heard of it before, but I certainly saw it quoted a lot. He has this song with the P word, named with the P word. And the song is filled with the N words. And this is who she's campaigning with in the final days of the campaign. And I'm looking at these working class folks in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, and they're saying, they say, wait a second, this doesn't represent what we're all about. I want to get my jobs back, not want to talk about the elite or being dissed by the elite. And there was anger and frustration out there. And even though if Donald Trump didn't offer specifics, it was something, it was not going to be politics as usual.
So, Ken, a lot to say about what your answer was there. First,
that was the longest answer in history.
And there was a lot in there. First, you know, are you seeing these exit polls or these post-election polls that are saying that a big chunk of people made up their minds in September? So a lot of this Comey stuff and Jay-Z, a lot of what happened, you know, between the end of September and Election Day, doesn't look like it was going to affect a significant number of Americans.
Well, I think there's truth to that, and I saw that in the exit polls as well. But if that's the case, if all these people have their minds made up back then, why didn't any of the polls see it? You know, everybody quotes Nate Silver and 538, and, you know, Hillary Clinton has a 255% chance of getting elected, And obviously there was an anger brewing out there, and it had been brewing for the better part, perhaps, of 4 years. And yet if they made these decisions in September, we didn't see it. I think when I was on your show right before the election, we talked about what is wrong with Donald Trump. What does he see that we don't see? Why is he in Minnesota, which turned out to be close? Why is he in Michigan,
right,
which hasn't gone Republican in ever? So we thought he was doing everything wrong.
Here's the other thing. You mentioned Comey, and as you know, Secretary Clinton is telling some donors and supporters that she thinks James Comey really stopped her momentum. Do you think there is some truth to that for some voters?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think it changed. I don't think it made more people vote for Trump. I think it may have made fewer people vote for Clinton. And clearly that after the final debate, when Hillary Clinton's lead was in high single digits and growing, she seemed to have momentum, and she seemed to say, I'm going to start looking at states like Arizona, which usually don't vote for a Democrat because I feel confident enough. And then Comey comes out with the October 28th letter 11 days before the election and says, well, there may be something there, but the key word was might, or there might be something there. And, of course, nobody heard the might. All they heard was emails. And even right before the election when he said, oops, never mind, there's nothing there at all. Go back to my original statement from July that there's no reason to prosecute. We still kept talking about her emails. And, you know, remember Bernie Sanders' famous quote, I don't want to talk about your, nothing about your damn emails.
That's right.
Hillary Clinton wanted to be talking about the damn emails either. But I kind of think, had she given a coherent answer about the having the two email servers from the beginning, which I think most people felt she did not do, that email thing wouldn't keep coming up. And so all those things that were wrong with Donald Trump about his misogyny and his comments about women and minorities and Muslims and Latinos and all that, I think it didn't matter anymore. I mean, every time I think of all the things that we got wrong or I got wrong looking at this election, it just seems like all the things that would have disqualified a candidate in the past didn't apply in 2016.
Right. You know, you mentioned Hillary Clinton not doing well in some of the states that she was expected to do well in. Michigan, almost lost Minnesota. I mean, came very close. One of the reasons for that appears to be that some of those blue collar suburbs that went for President Obama in 2008 and 2012 did not go for Hillary Clinton. Indeed, these were not people that just sat out the election, but they turned to Donald Trump. What do you make of that?
Well, I thought it was also interesting reading that, for example, Hillary Clinton did not spend one day of the general election campaign in Wisconsin.
I know. That was startling, wasn't it?
Yeah, now maybe she didn't need to because, you know, Wisconsin last voted for a Republican with Reagan in 84. But still, having said that, you just think that you don't – I mean, look, we know that there was an autopsy after the 2012 elections that said the Republicans will never win the White House again if they rely on white voters, that they were changing demographics in this country. That meant that they have to go after African-Americans and Latinos and Asians and women and all these things. And Trump ignored it from the beginning. So even though he didn't win more white voters, because there are fewer white voters than there were 4 years ago, he may not have won more white voters than Romney, Mitt Romney did 4 years ago. But all those big numbers about increased female turnout, increased black turnout, Latino turnout, it didn't happen. And I don't know if it's because they just didn't warm up to her like they did to Barack Obama, or she just, you know, just focused on the wrong things. But you know, I don't think that it was such a swelling of support for Donald Trump. And I'm not diminishing Trump's victory at all, but so many people who voted for Obama in certain demographic groups 4 years ago and 8 years ago did not do so last Tuesday.
Right. Ken, while we're talking about Wisconsin, I was reading a columnist, an op-ed from Christian Schneider from the Milwaukee Journal, and this was republished in USA Today. And he says, look, this loss has to be about Obama, too. And here's a quote from the column. Thus, while President Obama's personal approval rating might be high, it is impossible to take Tuesday's results as anything other than a direct repudiation of his policies. In this, he is the mirror image of Donald Trump, who is personally unpopular, but who voters seem to think has a better governing philosophy. What would you say about that?
Well, something, there's a lot to be said about that. For all the talk about, well, you know, Obama won twice and Hillary Clinton didn't, but look what happened to the Democratic Party since Barack Obama was first elected in 2008. They lost the Democrats are down 900 state legislative seats. They lost in the Senate. The Republicans were supposed to lose the Senate last Tuesday. They only lost a net of two seats. And how Ron Johnson won in Wisconsin over Russ Feingold is just remarkable. But I kind of think that all the things that people just didn't like, the fact that the premiums in the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, were rising, you know, uncontrollably. They talked about porous borders. They talked about a feckless foreign policy. That is all on Barack Obama. It's not Hillary Clinton. And I think I agree with, I mean, I do agree with that op-ed story piece that says that not only was it a big defeat for Hillary Clinton, but a repudiation for Obama policies as well.
Ken, here's your newsmaker sound of the week. And commenting on the protests that have greeted Trump's victory. So listen to this.
God bless the protesters. But I will tell you this. I caution anyone who in their protest becomes the very thing that they're protesting against, meaning turning to hateful speech, violating principles and ideals that are sacred in this country. Mm-hmm. We need to raise our voices, but we do not need to indulge in hate.
Who is that person?
Is that the governor of New Jersey?
Chris Christie?
It sounded like him, didn't it?
It is the senator from New Jersey, Cory Booker.
Well, that's interesting. Because,
isn't it?
What's interesting about that is because so many of the fear, as I said from the beginning, that I thought that we'd be talking about all these Trump supporters who wouldn't accept the election and they'd be rioting or protesting or whatever. The fact that Clinton supporters are doing the same thing, well, it's obviously anathema to what so many Clinton supporters believed in from the beginning, and it just showed the sudden change of the turnabout of events and turnabout of fortunes for the two parties, that people are just absolutely stunned at what happened. You know, Cory Booker is an interesting person to mention.
He is, isn't he?
Because now we're talking about possible, I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say this word, but 2020, I know. We haven't recovered from 2016 yet. But 2020, there's not much of a Democratic bench. Bernie Sanders is running again. Well, he'll be 117 in 2020. So you have to look at the Cory Bookers of the world and see what the new Democratic Party is going to look like.
It's amazing how one day and one election result flips everything. I mean, you know, the GOP should probably still do an autopsy, but maybe that isn't urgent now that they've got the House and the Senate and the White House. Who knew that the Democrats would really need to examine who they are and where they're going?
Exactly. I mean, they were supposed to win 15 seats to 20 seats in the House. They won, I think, 6. They lost seats in the state legislatures. It's just remarkable. And that's not to diminish the fact that there are still tremendous tensions in the Republican Party, and naming Steve Bannon,
right,
the former president of Breitbart News, to be your senior counselor and top advisor when his alt-right website, which was once dismissed as fringe, is now in the center of everything. It's just obviously the Paul Ryan's. I mean, Breitbart. I mean, Steve Bannon was one of the people who were working hard to defeat Paul Ryan in the primary
last year.
Exactly,
yeah.
So there are Republican tensions that are not going to go away, despite the fact that Trump won. And look, it wasn't a landslide. I think the last I saw, Hillary Clinton has maybe 700,000, 900,000 more votes. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that much, as President Al Gore will tell you.
Yeah, you're talking
about that this nation is split in half.
You mean in the popular vote. Yeah.
In the popular vote, yeah.
Yeah. One last thing here, Ken, about you mentioned Bannon as this senior advisor position, and Trump has named Reince Priebus, the GOP chair, to be his chief of staff. How do you think these two are going to work together?
Well, I don't. I think it's interesting. I think the press release that announced the two names, it was interesting that Steve Bannon's name was first. I thought that was very interesting. And it also pointed out that that Steve Bannon will report to Donald Trump, not to Reince Priebus,
exactly,
who is the chief of staff. So it's obviously the potential for rivalry is there. I think that's what Donald Trump always liked in his businesses. I think you'll see it in the government itself. And there's so many. I mean, I've been looking at the tweets of so many notable Republicans who are just still have not recovered from last Tuesday. They're still numb, and that may continue for the next either through the inauguration or through 2020. Oh, I said that word again.
Ken, what are you specifically watching for this week?
Well, I always like to see who, you know, I mean, of course, we'll see more and more potential names being thrown out as people in the cabinet. Rudy Giuliani's name has been thrown out there. Even Chris Christie, whose star was damaged, of course, by those convictions in the Bridgegate scandal, his name is out there. Sarah Palin still says she wants to be Secretary of Education, and I think that'll be great because I think she could, you know, I don't, you know something, I'm not going to even be snarky. I'm still stunned, but it'll be interesting to see who he names.
All right, Ken Rudin with us, the political junkie from Phoenix, Arizona, where it is early. Ken, thank you.
Thank you so much.